Bikurim Perik Aleph Mishnah Gimel 1:3. Ein Mevin Bikurim Chutz Meshiva Saminim. One may not bring Bikurim from produce other than those that are enumerated as the seven species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised. The basis for this is because the pasuk, which says to bring Bikurim, says Velakachta Meireshis Kol Pri HaAdama. You will bring from the first of every fruit of your land. But it could have said Velakachta Reishis Kol Pri HaAdama. It could have said you take every first fruit. And then it says Meireshis from every first fruit, to be understood that it's not every type of first fruit, but just some subset, as specifically those seven species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised, in Devarim Ches Ches. And those seven species are wheat, barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. The Mishnah further says, not even all of those can be brought. Loma tamarim shebaharim. You shouldn't bring dates that grew on the mountaintops. Apparently, dates grow better and are higher quality dates if they grew in the valley. Vloma peres shebaamakim. And similarly, if it comes to other kinds of produce, it shouldn't be grown, I think this is actually grain perhaps, shouldn't be grown in the valley, but rather that grows up on higher ground. Vloma zeh se shemen she'enem min hamuvchar. And even when it comes to olives, the verse specifies zeis shemen, which means olives that are oil-bearing olives. So not all olives are equally quality in terms of how much oil they produce, the quality of oil they produce. So some olives in the rains have the oil leaked out of them, and that's not good. We want specifically an olive called the Zayis Aguri. Aguri means like storage. So the point is these olives store their oil very well. So they're high quality olives. En mevin bikurim kodum la'atzeres. Anuden, when you do bring bikurim, you may not bring it before the holiday of Shavuos. If you do, the truth is that under normal circumstances, those bikurim would just be set aside until after Shavuos, atzeres being a synonym for Shavuos. The reason why is because, just the same way we discussed not long ago, that when it comes to the new crop, one first must bring the korban omer before the new grains can be eaten by people, and that happens on the second day of Pesach. So there's something quite similar before the new crops can be used for korbanos, for different offerings and the like in the Beis HaMikdash. So first the shtei halechem, these two loaves that are waved on Shavuos, must be waved. So since we're talking here about bikurim, which are coming from this year's new crop, before they are, the procedure is done with the bikurim that's done with them, first those shtei halechem, those two loaves on Shavuos, have to be waved. And even though it's true that normally if a person would, for whatever reason, bring their bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash prior to Shavuos, and they'd just be set aside, here the Mishnah says, Anshei har tzavoim heviu bikureihem kodum latzeres. The men of har tzavoim, that's the name of the place, they brought their bikurim prior to Shavuos, velo kiblu mehem. And they're actually, the Kohanim refused to accept those bikurim and to let them be set aside in Yerushalayim in the, you know, waiting to be offered. Rather, they sent the men of har tzavoim back. They sent them back home with their bikurim. Now, we actually saw this idea not long ago in the end of Chal, Maseches Chal, if you're learning these in order. And the rationale was the same story here and there, that even though it's normally true that we would just set aside the bikurim and offer them later on, the people from har tzavoim were especially prominent persons, and the concern was that if their bikurim were let to sit around and they weren't sent back home with them, other people would learn from them. They would think maybe the ideal thing to do, or a better thing to do, or the right thing to do, is to bring your bikurim early on, like the people, these men from har tzavoim did do, and therefore, so as not to set that wrong impression, to stop any, you know, bad precedent. In this particular case, the Kohanim turn them away and send them back with their bikurim. Now, the pasuk says, why did they do that? Mipnei hakasuv shebatorah, because of the verse in the Torah which says, v'chag hakatzir, on the festival of the reaping, that's Shavuos, bikure ma'asecha asher tizra basadeh. It should be the first of your maasecha, like of your acts that you planted this the field with. So now that's understood. Bikurei maasecha, the first of your acts, is understood to be referring to the act of converting this grain into a korban, the shtei alechem, and meaning that first comes the shtei alechem to be offered as the drasha prior to other things being offered, or even in this case of bikurim waved in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's interesting. Invariably, when the psukim are brought as a source, as a proof text for some halacha in the Mishnah, so it would say shene'emar, as the pasuk says. Here it says mipnei hakasuv shebatorah, because of the verse that is in the Torah. And the idea here is that if it would have said shene'emar, as the pasuk says, that would imply that it's disallowed, based on a pasuk, to accept these bikurim, and therefore it would give them misimpression that the sending back of the people with their bikurim to Har Tzavoim was a requirement of the pasuk. That's not true. It's just that because the, I'll call it now, the spirit of the law, the spirit of the pasuk is that first should come the shtei alechem, and after that should become the bikurim, etc. So to uphold that spirit, if you will, of the law, and to make sure that other people didn't get a misimpression of what was proper, so motivated by the spirit of the law, the sentiment of that pasuk, they sent the people from Har Tzavoim back, but not that they had to because of a pasuk. That's why it says mepnei hakasuv shebatorah, because of this value, I'll call it, that the Torah put forth, that first should come bikurim maasecha, the shtei halechem waving, prior to the other offerings.